السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are recording. Okay. The belief in the angels. Now, you might say, okay, what are those angels doing? They are doing what? What are these angels doing? What's their job?
What angels?
Oh, I mean, those angels overall.
Well, they protect you.
Guardian angels protect you?
They basically have to do what Allah told them to do.
They have to do what Allah told them to do? They're doing tasks, right?
Yeah.
Okay. These tasks, why can't Allah just do it himself?
He can.
Huh?
He chooses not to.
He chooses not to because he's like better than that.
He's better than that? In what ways?
Like, he's a lot better than the tasks that like, you have to do. So like, if it's like in like the Hinduism, they believe that oh God, like they actually do everything, but like
oh, you're
God
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you read just?
Like, oh, so like. Yeah, so basically God's better than that. And then like also in like Hinduism, they believe that God actually does all that. But like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like he's like, you can't see him. He's like so amazing that you just can't even see him. So, and since he's better than that, he has other people, other angels to do what.
Exactly. And I'm going to detail why. Okay, do Allah do everything? Do Allah do everything? Can Allah do everything?
Yeah.
He can. But would He do everything? No. Remember that there is a ticket over there in the back. You know, there are those stupid philosophers that say, is you guys say that God can do everything. So, yeah, He can do everything. You sure? Yeah. Can He create a rock that He can't carry? Can't He create a rock that can't carry? If you say yes, okay, then He can't carry the rock. If you say no, then He can't make the rock or create the rock. So whether you say yes or no, you're doomed.
That's like a paradox.
Exactly. So, what would be your answer? Huh?
Allah can if He wanted to, but He's so amazing that anything that He makes, He can do whatever He wants with it, whether He can destroy it with, like...
Huh?
I'd say yes and no. Like, He can create the rock, but, like... Well, that's actually confusing.
Go ahead.
It would go against His names, because if He's the most wise, He would know not to make the rock in the first place.
It goes against His names. Perfect. Good. That's a very good answer. It goes against His name. In other words, you say Allah can do everything He wants to do, but He would not do certain things. Like what? Like, can Allah lie? Can Allah cheat?
No.
Can Allah break a promise?
No.
All these are not true, right? Then Allah has things that He would not do because they are not appropriate for His
names.
For His names or for His majesty. For His majesty.
So like when you said that, He can do anything, but then He doesn't do the bad. Like
He doesn't do things against His nature. Against His nature, and His nature is defined to us by 99 names. Okay? So, yes, if He wants to do anything, He will, but He will never do things that are not appropriate for His majesty. This rock, like a super god, right? Like, if this rock, He can't carry it, then it's like, here's one thing that's stronger than Him. And that's not true. That can't happen. Okay? So, He would not do that because it's not appropriate for His majesty. Now, why does He need angels if He can do things by Himself? You just said that. And if I may add to that, let's say, for example, there are angels on the right and left doing what? They called them Raqib and Atid. Raqib and Atid. They're doing what?
They're tracking down your deeds. Like if you do a good deed, they write it down. And if you do a bad deed, they also write it down.
That's right. That's right. Who's in charge, by the way? The right angel in charge of the left, or the left in charge of the right?
The right is in charge of the left.
The right is in charge of the left. How? So you do bad deeds, the left angel wants to write it. The right angel says, stop, not now. Give him a chance, he might repent. So now you go on and you don't, and then you forget to repent. Or make a istighfar. So he tells him, wait on, maybe he make a istighfar. Hold on. He just keeps making it all reasons to stop the guy on the left from writing a bad deed. Until you forget and you don't make a istighfar and you don't repent. Then he says, okay, now you write it. Now you can write it. You get that part? So when those angels, when you go to the bathroom, what happens to these angels? Huh? So if you do a bad deed in the bathroom, it's not written?
No.
So what happened when you go to the bathroom? Do they leave you?
They
are there. Doesn't matter where you go. even if you do like, if you even fall into a manhole, that they will still be with you. Doesn't matter where. Now, is this appropriate for Allah to be with you? Would it be appropriate for Allah to do their job?
No.
Like be with you? It's not. It is impossible. Without angels, many, many things become impossible. There is no way Allah is going to go with you to the bathroom. There is no way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to go with you to dirty places. Go ahead.
Like he's bigger than all that.
Yeah. It's a low image of Allah to think that he goes to these places. Yes. Huh? Yes. Yes. It's a low image of Allah. Don't get distracted by these things. It's a low image of Allah, okay? To think that he can do this thing. Other things, the guardian angels. You know that guardian angels are there to guard you from?
Harm.
From?
Harm.
Harm by who?
By bad people.
No, I can harm you.
Oh, by shaitan?
But exactly. Shaitans have so much power that they can burn us, they can kill us in no time, in a fraction of a second. He can burn us right away. I mean, he's so much more powerful.
But I heard that guardian angels can also like guard you against like bad people. Like, there was a story that I heard, like, this person, like, there was this Muslim girl and she was outside at dark, and then there was this bad person, and then she said, I'd look overseas, and then the guardian angels were like sort of around her.
No, that's not the job of the guardian angels. And the guardian angels do protect you from jinn and shaitans, because they will wipe you off from the face of the earth in no time if they want. But they can't. Why? Because you're protected by the guardian angels. They can't touch you. Even bad guys have guardian angels. The worst, Hitler had guardian angels. There is absolutely nobody born without, who lives without a guardian angel. That's common sense, because otherwise this person will be wiped off right away, will be burned by the shaitan and jinn.
If a jinn goes inside of you, like possession, like from a jinn, like that could happen, right?
There is nothing in the Quran that says it could happen, and nothing from my experience. So based on that, I have to tell you, no, it doesn't happen. I've not seen a case, and I've not read anything in the Quran or in the hadith that says this thing, that you can be possessed. What you can be possessed with is evil temptations.
For jinn? No jinn? Jinn can't.
No. Jinn can't take over you.
What? Really?
In the book.
Mentioned in the book?
It says that jinn
can't take
non-believers.
For non-believers, like, they can possess the body, and a way to make sure that they don't do that is to, you know, say prayers for Allah's protection, have a good Muslim house.
Well, I don't know who authored these books, but I can tell you there's nothing in Quran or ahadith or my experience that shows that.
But there are lots of proof.
There's lots of proof.
No, there is no proof. There is no proof. I mean, all what the shaitan can do is one thing, is to inspire you with evil thoughts and evil ideas. Evil thoughts and evil ideas. And sometimes you yourself are more advanced in evil than the shaitan that doesn't have to do a job.
So, what about, I'm not sure if it was in your class, but one of the classes, it was like, when the Quraysh were planning to hunt down Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, shaitan entered the meeting. So, did he possess someone, or did he change the shape?
No,
he
takes the shape of a human. Yeah, it takes the shape of a human, and I can tell you how. In just a minute. Just keep that in mind. If I don't explain, remind me.
You didn't get envelopes.
Oh, envelopes?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Okay,
names.
So.
Safa.
Do you know that every one of us has a partner, shaitan? Every one of us. The only one probably is accepted from that is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? Okay. But every one, single one of us has shaitan assigned to him or her. Okay, to give you, inspire you with what evil thoughts and evil ideas. Sometimes this shaitan takes a break. When that shaitan takes a break?
Ramadan.
Huh?
Ramadan.
No, takes a break, not stopped. Takes a break. When the person becomes an evil, a human shaitan, when the thoughts of this person, when this person does evil already on his own, shaitan is just taking a break. It's like, hey, doing good. Yeah, keep going, back away. Okay, shaitan doesn't. And some people have more evil thoughts than the shaitan himself. Yeah, they have more evil than the shaitan himself. And some people can do evil more than what the shaitan can do. Way more than the shaitan can do. Like, look at these movies. Like, these sometimes very bad R movies. They were able to do with sound and image and blah blah. They are able to inspire you with unethical, evil thoughts. Okay? They can inspire you with this. And no shaitan can make that. No shaitan can create a movie.
I saw this funny Tumblr post in regards to this TV show called Supernatural, where it said that if you're worse than Lucifer, then you have a problem. I think
that sounds perfect. There are human shaitans in the past. They used to say, "We were teaching people evil. Now we're learning from them." You know that shaitans are learning evil from people. You know, there was this joke.
How does that work? Well, because some people are more evil than shaitan himself, right? And the goal of shayateen is to lead people astray and do bad deeds, right? So then the more they know about how to do that, the more they can lead people astray. So they learn from those people.
So Hitler or the Pharaoh, for example. Hitler or the Pharaoh. They learn from the shaitan. I actually have a joke about one of the Arabian president. President Assad, who killed people left and right. He was so evil, so evil. Killed so many people. Massacre, just like Hitler, for example. So that Assad, his name is Assad. So Assad had a problem with the Islamic movement. He wants to wipe off this movement from the face of the earth because they are fighting him. So he said, he invited the shaitan. He said, come, give me an idea. Give me an idea. How can I destroy them? Destroy those people. So shaitan thought, and he said, yeah, I give an idea. And then he started whispering. The idea is so important that I have to whisper it to you. So then he started taking his ears and whispering in his ears. Whispering. Can I get you guys to go here? Because I want to be able to focus on one. I can't go back and forth. If you would please. Like, there are three seats back there. Yep. Okay. You can sit here. Okay. This way I'm not divided, so I can see all of you together. Okay. So, look, this is a joke, by the way. This is a joke. So, shaitan said, I have to whisper the evil idea in your ear. So, shaitan whispered the idea. So now Asad, after the shaitan is done, says, Get out of here. What is this? This is not an evil idea. I've tried this long time ago. You're so naive. So, Shaitan said, I have another idea, worse than that. He says, okay, come, whisper. Then the Shaitan, then the Asad pushes him really hard and says, oh man, you are claiming to be a Shaitan. You're not a Shaitan. You claim the title of Shaitan and you claim the power of evil. No, you're not. So Shaitan got puzzled. The guy said, we have tried this long time ago. So the Shaitan got puzzled. So the Shaitan said, do you have something in mind? He said, yes. He told Shaitan, yes. So Shaitan said, okay, here is my ear. Okay, so now the president started whispering into the ear of the Shaitan. Shaitan said, fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. You see the joke? It's like the idea of the guy scared the Shaitan himself. So Shaitan, everybody has a twin Shaitan. Yes, you have a twin Shaitan.
A Allah twin? Said,
yes. With like a mate Shaitan, like a partner, like whatever you want to call it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a mate Shaitan, I think so. Qareen. It's called Qareen.
So there's a main Shaitan, Iblis, right?
Uh-huh.
There's many other Shaitans.
Zillions. Zillions of them, yeah. And there are Shaitans assigned to places. And there are Shaitans assigned to people.
How about things?
Huh?
How about like objects? Are Shaitans assigned to like, not people, but like inanimate objects?
For example, on the beach. In the beach. If you go to the beach and all these girls are wearing bikinis and all of these things, I can tell you, there are 500 shaitans assigned to this beach, other than the partner shaitans. I can tell you. I mean.
So, like, when a person dies, does their partner shaitan die with them, or does he just move on?
I don't think he dies with them. I don't think so. I think he moves on. And there's a shaitan for every task. Like, do you know the name of the shaitan that makes you lose focus in the prayer and start thinking about drifting, doze off?
I forgot. I know.
Khinzim.
Never mind.
Khinzim. His name is Khinzim. He's the one who sneaks on you in the prayer and steals your attention from remembering Allah to remembering something about, oh my God. Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And I get the shopping from the supermarket. And yes, there was, Allahu Akbar. There was a sale on this store. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Oh yeah, and that guy borrowed $500 from me. I need to get it. Allahu Akbar. You're laughing, but this happens, unfortunately. At least with me. It happens a lot to lose focus on the prayer. Okay. Now, it's haram. If you intend it. If you don't intend it, then it's okay. You know what I'm saying? So some people say, start a prayer, and they have the intention of thinking about other than Allah, other than the prayer. That, those guys, their prayer doesn't count. But like us, we pray, we don't have the intention of thinking about other than Allah. It happens, but we don't intend it. If you don't intend it, you're okay. Got it? In a way, because you should have an intention not to dream on the prayer, or not to doze off, or not to think about something else. Okay? So you need to have this intention. And if you have this intention, even if you forget, even if you think about something else, Allah forgives you. Because Allah deals you with intentions. So, those guardian angels go with you everywhere. The bad guys have guardian angels. Why? Hitler had a guardian angel. Pharaoh had a guardian angel. Why? Because Allah wants them to get the chance.
Bad people, why would they need a guardian angel? Because they look so bad that, Shaitan would probably, like them or something. Like, they probably don't need a guardian angel.
No, they need a guardian angel. Because shaitans can kill anybody, can burn anybody. There are wild shaitans. There are wild ones.
I'm just saying that, they need a guardian angel in case, they actually want to become good, or if they actually want to, change, they have that chance to prepare, everyone else, the guardian angel?
If they have disagreements with whatever the shaitan wants, the shaitan can burn them, okay? Even the wild shaitans, wild shaitans that burn people left and right, if they want, but they can't. Now let me explain to you how could the shaitan and the angels have access to us. You say, okay, angels can go through walls, right? How?
They're in a different dimension.
Or there's another reason also. Other than this, they are created from waves of light. Waves can go through walls, right? Like if you call your mother using the cell phone and the door is closed.
Light can't go.
Yeah, but light can't.
The waves of light, the waves in general can go through walls. Okay? Shaitans are created from waves of fire, so they can go through walls as well. That's one way. Jinn are also created from waves of fire. I'm going to explain
fire.
More to you just
I
a second.
It's like smokeless fire.
Smokeless fire?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe.
No, it is. It's smokeless fire.
Oh, maybe. I need to just borrow you. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
In order, let me give you this example. I'm fine. Let me give you this example. We live in how many dimensions? Three dimensions. X, Y, Z, right? We live in XYZ, which is like we have a length, we have a width, we have a length, we have a width, and we have a breadth, right? So your existence, there are people who live in 2D. I mean, imagine there are people who live in 2D. So they don't have a thickness. Are you following me? They don't have a thickness. They live in 2D, they don't have a surface. They live on this surface. Let's imagine there are people who live in 2D and they live on this surface.
So like, if you see them from the side, you can't see anything.
Exactly, but let me get to this slowly. She's ahead of me. So, okay, so the guy, the king, is a rectangle.
That would be hilarious.
The good guys are, the princes and thing are triangles. I'm just kidding. And then the poor guys are circles. They live, now they live in this plane. They live in this plane, okay? And they cannot move out of the plane. And they cannot think or imagine that there is a third dimension at all. It doesn't ever cross their mind. They can only see in this plane, and that's it. Go ahead.
Is there actually people who look like that? Or
no,
that's not.
That would be so awesome. That would be awesome if you could see people moving around on that whiteboard.
Okay, now, can you see them?
Yeah.
Yes. Can they see you?
Probably not.
No, Ayla? Or Ayla, right?
It's like,
yeah. Focus. You want to make sure you're with us. Okay? So, can you see them? Yes. Can they see you? No. Can they imagine that you exist?
No.
You are... Now, let me ask you a question. If I put my finger like that, what can they see?
Just a flat finger thing.
Flat finger, which is thumbprint, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, they can see only your thumbprint. So, you take off your... Yeah, you can keep going. I can erase this to you.
Okay, so it's like the it's like the cartoon character that you watch, right? Like, but the individual is Gumball, where they don't know that they're cartoon characters. They think that they're like people. They don't know that we're watching. And in one episode, their world has these strange happenings, like everyone seems to be acting really weird and talking funny. They eventually, as it continues on, they're sort of like, wait, if the TVs aren't working and it's reflecting our day lives, then does that mean that we're... And then it skips to the end of the episode.
Oh, I took this one. You can erase it. So now let's look here, back here. Okay? Now, in order for us to be able to... talk to them, we have to downcast ourselves. You know downcast? So you downcast yourself into a plane. Okay? Do we have this ability? No. Angels and shaitans, they have the ability to cast themselves in 3D. So they can come and cast themselves out. Okay.
So they're originally 2D?
No, they're multi-D.
Huh?
Multi-D.
Multidimensional.
Multidimensional.
They have several planes.
Yeah.
So like 4D?
For example. Some people say 4D is the time.
How is that, how does that work? 5D
well,
is
you never know.
I mean, also, does that
ask
mean
those guys.
Time and stuff?
Yeah.
Ask those guys. How come there is 3D? That can they? Can
so we
they?
Can't imagine.
We can't imagine. Yeah.
So
do you
wait,
see? Do you see this idea I'm explaining here? So, look at this guy. His name is Gilbert. No, his name is Albert. Albert has a home, and this is Albert. This is Albert's room. So now Albert. So what would be the door? The room is going to be a rectangle, and the door would be a straight line. So now, Albert moves in, and he stays, he goes inside home, and then he locks the door. So now the door is locked, right? He thinks, yes, I'm alone, nobody can see me. Ha, 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 ha. We can see him.
We're stalkers.
Now look at this. You take your thumb and do like this. What would he see out of your thumb? Thumbprint. Then he says, ghost. Ghost. Where did it come from? The door is closed. Ghost. Right. Then you take your thumb out. You saw your thumbprint disappears. The ghost is gone. You know? That's why the shaitans can nail you in no time. Shaitans can burn you, right? Shaitans have access to you the way you have access to this guy. The way you have access to this guy, they have access to you. They can wipe you off from existence, just like you can wipe this guy off from existence. They are. And they can move back and forth through walls from the third dimension. Can you jump through walls? Yes, I can go from this wall, from this to this. I can go through the wall. How? I go like this. So I can go like this and I'll be outside going through the walls.
I wish.
Yeah.
So wait, so like if you like put your finger on the wall of the building, will you like erase the wall or something? And it won't be there anymore?
Let's assume it's not erasable.
Okay.
But yes, you can you can do a lot of things. Think of us being the 2D guys, and the angels are the 3D folks. We're the 2D folks. The two guardian angels are one here and one here in a different dimension.
So can they like destroy things in our dimension? Can they destroy?
They can function only in their dimension, and they cannot hurt us because they are just in this plane, right? And we have all this space, you know. We have a lot of space, a universe, okay? But they do have just one plane, so there is. You don't need to exist in their plane. Now, how about Angel Jibreel and the jinn, Shaitan, casting themselves into humans? Like Angel Jibreel did that several times. Like, for example, the hug, okay? So, how can they do that? They will cast themselves into an animal. However, if they cast themselves into an animal or a bird, they would be controlled by the laws of nature that governs this angle and this bird or this animal. Go ahead.
But you're basically saying that they can possess animals.
No, I'm not saying can possess anybody. I'm saying they can cast themselves. But they would be controlled by the laws of nature that applies to this animal. So for example, if they cast themselves to a bird, they can fly. Yes.
Would you be able to see them though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. If they cast themselves to a bird, then they can fly.
Are there many out there, like jinns?
I have no idea, but what I know is that they can.
They can, but we don't know how
many
are actually.
Well, yes, I mean, right. And all what we can do is that, all what we can know is that from the hadith of the Prophet, an angel Jibreel coming to hug the Prophet and read Iqra and all of these things. And then angel Jibreel coming to teach Prophet Muhammad and the Muslims their religion and all of these things. But if they cast themselves into an animal, if you actually shoot the bird, you kill the jinn. So they will be, they will, the laws of nature that applies to the bird will apply to them.
But can they change back to a jinn?
No. They get, they, you shoot the bird is dead, the shaitan is dead. Yes?
So if they turn into a bird, can they turn back into a jinn or
a jinn? Oh, yes. But if they got shot, they got shot. Okay? If they cast themselves to a dog, to be looked in the body of a dog. So, okay. In the body of a dog, if they cast themselves to a body of a dog, okay, then the dog can't fly. Why? Because they are garma, ruled by the laws of nature that applies to the dog. Yes.
Let's say a jinn turned into a dog. Could they see other jinns that have also turned into different animals?
I think so. I would believe so, but I don't have a confirmation. So, why is this? Because Allah is protecting us from going crazy by the jinn. Because if you see a flying dog, if the jinn casts himself to a dog, and then this dog flies, it will drive you crazy. So Allah made it in such a way, if you cast yourself to a certain shape or a certain object, you're governed by the rules of nature that governs this. You get shot, you die. If you kill the dog, the shaitan is dead. Okay? So, now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I can see you. Can I hide under the bed? Yeah, I can still see you. Allah's infinite dimensions. Allah's not like us. Like maybe the second heaven is like 4D, maybe the third heaven is 5D, and so forth. Now, the folks of like the folks of 4D, they have same access to us. They all can access us from this dimension. Okay? Now you can open the window and then close the window. He said, who opened the window? Well, nobody. The window opened all by itself. And then, who closed the windows? Huh?
Like,
you can
just alter their dimension. You can just do that. Like, go, like, say, can jinns come to our dimension in their original form?
No, they can't. They won't fit. It's just like you're trying to fit here. How can you fit in this plane? You can't.
So you have to turn into a two-dimensional thing and go in it. Okay.
Exactly. You kind of to downcast yourself. Okay. So now you can imagine how the angels, where the angels, how come they cross walls and all of these things. Okay. Now, do you know that we're limited by our body? The soul? Okay. The Prophet ﷺ says we are asleep, when we die, we wake up. It's other what the other way around. So the other way around. Why? Because when we die, our souls will be freed from the body. And then we can see angels and see Allah and all of these things that we can't see now.
So when we die, our souls go into like the four, like the multi-dimensional thing?
But we're trapped in our body.
Your body goes to the grave. Your soul is freed now. Yes. So the interface of the body and the soul, we have a body and soul. If you want if your soul wants to walk, it orders the brain that I want to walk. So the brain makes you walk. If your soul wants to jump, okay, then it orders the plane. I want to jump the body. So you jump. I'm kidding to you here in just a second. So what's the interface between the soul and the body is?
The soul tells the body what to do.
Is it the brain? So this is how the soul and the body connect. They connect through the brain. So if you want to stand up, sit down, your soul will order your brain. So you sit down. So how can they communicate through the what? Brain. But if your soul wants to fly, it will order the body to fly. Would the body fly?
No.
Why?
Because
it's limited.
Mm-hmm.
limited. We have limited. So which one limits which one? Your soul wants to fly, it wants to go here and there, and you know, your soul have a lot of things that it wants to do. Who is limiting the soul?
The body.
The body. So the body right now is limiting us to five senses. So it's limiting us from seeing the world of the unseen. But when you die, okay, you're free, your soul is finally free to go. So your soul can go everywhere now. Your soul can see everything now. I would like to see the other world now. Go ahead.
But in the grave, isn't the soul the thing that's being punished?
Yeah.
Yes.
So then, if your body goes into the grave, like, you're not really...
Your body,
no, he means that the body gets buried in the ground, which would be your grave, right? Yeah. But the soul itself, it's free from the body, but it's still going to be in that sort of grave kind of place because it has to have the punishment of the grave until the day of judgment.
Yes, it will be right there, around there, but if this is the grave, okay, then maybe in a different dimension. Like your soul will be out there. Like if the 2D guys, their soul gets out of the plane, okay? Now they can see the 3D. Because they are nobody limited by their body to see only 2D. When they get out, they can see 3D.
So it's like being in a different dimension.
Exactly. So the soul will be in a different dimension, but it's going to be sort of the grave for you. So the way you feel it, the way you feel the grave. So it will look real to you, okay? It will feel real, but it's not to us. Not in us living in 3D. We don't see anything. But in higher dimensions, your soul is getting punished and your soul is getting beaten up and hammered and all of these awful things in a different dimension. Go ahead.
Can the soul like see the world though? Like, can the soul see what people are
yes.
doing?
Yes, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the dead can hear you and can see you. So, how? From the other dimensions. Can they touch this dimension back? No. Once you get out of it, you're not getting back. Allah said that. Once you get out of the 3D into the multi-D stuff and you're able to see things, and then you can't go back. So the body is limiting the soul. So the reason we can't see the angels is because the body has five senses only. And even our vision, we can't see everywhere. There are places that we didn't see at all. Like the big humongous universe. There are things that we didn't see. All right? Okay. So,
is that where Christians and other people got the idea that the dead can interact with us in the sense that any bad things that might have happened to us could be their revenge on the living?
There's nothing that say like this in the Quran.
But like you said that in, well, they can't come back to this, that the dead can see and hear us. But I'm just saying that, did they take that and twist it so they can interact with us?
Mm. Well, maybe.
That's awesome. Okay. Like, sorry, I confused myself. Because they can't come in. I'm trying to say that. Did they take the Quran and then they twist it? Like they twisted how we're not supposed to drink alcohol? Oh, yeah, we can. Just small quantities.
Who did
that? When you're legal. Just, I'm saying that in general, people take the words of the Quran. It back then, right? Or by the prophets and messengers, they take their holy advice and teachings and then they twist it. So
yeah.
Did they also twist this to be that, yes, the dead can interact with us and it'll be to hurt us?
No, the dead can't interact with us. The maximum you can get is just like seeing a dead person in your dream. That's about it. And sometimes this dream is just hallucinating. Okay. So, we said that the interface between the body and soul is the brain. What happens when you, if I want to give your body pain, what do I do to give your body pain right now? Okay.
Yeah,
physically
do something to it.
Yes. Now, if I want to do a surgery on you, what do I need to do?
Put anesthetics.
Numb the brain, right?
Yeah.
So when the brain goes to sleep, Are you hurt?
No.
No. So what I'm trying to say that is that you get pain in this life through your body. So in order for the soul to feel a pain, okay, the brain has to be awake, and then this brain is going to transmit the pain to the soul. So the brain is going to say, here is soul. I'm saying, here is pain. So this is the soul. And this is the and this is the body. They interface through the brain. If I want to punish you now, can I punish your soul? No, I punish your what?
Body.
If I want to do something on you, I put you to sleep, then your body's, your brain is numb, then I can hurt your body without you feeling any pain. Yes.
So is emotional pain more like that hurts the soul?
Emotional pain also comes from hormones and things like that. It's from the body. So the body gives pain back to the soul. So if I want to punish you in this life, I just have to beat or punish the body. When I punish the body, you feel the pain, right? If your brain is not numb. In the grave, is there a body anymore? Do we have body in the graves?
Mm-hmm. My fifth grade teacher told me her cousin had a son who had no, like, basically, he didn't know from hot to cold, so, like, he didn't feel any pain. So does that mean...
Defective brain.
Yeah, so does that mean his soul didn't feel the pain either? Or?
Yeah, I mean, if the body cannot get pain back to the soul, okay, then your soul is not going to feel the pain. Okay? Now, in the grave, there is no body. So if I want to punish you in the grave, do I punish your body?
No.
Why? It's disconnected from the soul. So I have to punish the what?
Soul.
So that's why you get the good dreams and the bad dreams and the nightmares and all of these things about in the grave. Because I have to punish, Allah will punish your soul, not your body. Your body is just gone forever. You're not getting it back until the day of judgment. You're getting actually another body, or actually the same body. Okay? So now, in the hellfire, your body in the day of judgment, your body and soul are what? They mate again. They get connected. As Allah said, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ in the Quran, means that the souls and the body are combined again together. So, if Allah will give you a punishment in the day of judgment, it will be in your body and soul. Body and soul.
Heart.
Both. On body and soul. If Allah wants to give you Jannah and pleasure in the day of judgment, it will be pleasure to the body and pleasure to the soul. So it's not like, here I have to comfort your body so that your soul feels comfortable. No. Allah comforts your body and comforts your soul together. So you get double. So you get double the joy or double the pain, okay, in the day of judgment. So in this life, I can only punish your body and your soul will feel the pain because of that, unless the brain is numbed, so your soul will feel nothing. And the grave, Allah will punish the soul only because there's nobody, nightmares and things like that. In the day of judgment, Allah will punish both. That's how terrible it becomes. It's just like, if I burn you now, okay, and just not touching your soul, but I'm burning your body, your soul will have a lot of pain because it's connected to the body. Now imagine that I'm not only punishing your body, but your soul again at the same time. So you're having a horrible nightmare with it being burned. So, I mean, double trouble, double pain. It's awful. So make sure that you're staying away from this hellfire. Okay, there is an angel whose job is to blow on the trumpet. Whose name is that?
Israfil,
yes. Mountains have angels taking care of them. As the Prophet ﷺ said, when he was stoned, Allah said, just a few minutes, Allah sent him the angel of mountains, and he said, if you want, I can punish the people who hurt you or stoned you by crushing them between the two mountains. So the Prophet Muhammad said no. Okay? So there's an angel for mountains. There is an angel for rain. There's an angel for everything. All these laws of nature are enforced by angels. Okay, so they're an angel to make sure that these laws of nature are happening.
Wasn't there a story about how Jin escaped, like got into heaven and listened to the angel of rain to see if it was going to rain?
Shaitan.
Yes.
Shaitan sneaks up to heaven and hears the sayings of the angels, and they come use this information to go down and spread evil
or
on earth.
Yeah.
However, when the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born, guess what was the first thing happened? The first thing happened, Allah guarded heavens. It said in the Quran that Allah has guarded heavens after the Prophet was born. Why? As a gift. So that shaitans cannot do that much corruption anymore.
Like, I also heard that, like, shaitans that go up to listen, they are, like, shot down by angels.
Yes.
Now shooting stars.
Are shooting the, so they can no longer hear the angels talking. So that's, they are blocked from that. Okay. All right. So everything has an angel to it, and these are the jobs of the angel. They are honorable creatures. Do they disobey Allah?
No.
Why? Because they don't have temptations. No temptation. No selfishness. No greed. No arrogance. Nothing. Null. So if you don't have any temptations to tempt you to do evil things, like talking in class, for example, if you don't have a temptation to do evil things, then why would you do it?
You wouldn't.
Because why? I mean, so they worship Allah as the way we breathe. Do you breathe naturally?
Yeah.
That's the way they worship Allah. Their breath is like subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. It's natural. It's natural. It's, they are not going to Jannah or hellfire because it's natural
they
to them.
Have a free will.
By the way, there is a guard for the hellfire. His name is Malik. And there is a guard for Jannah. An angel guarding.
Ridwan.
Yeah. Ridwan is for Jannah. Yes. Malik is for hell. And under Ridwan and Malik, there are tons of angels. Okay? Now, angels who are custodians of hellfire, they don't get pain from the hellfire. But they have a big frown. Like frown? On the frown?
Yeah.
They are have so angry and frown face because they just, it's so terrible that they can't smile. The angels of Jannah has a big smile and they greet the believer with salam and salam and salam and salam. Yes.
So you said that at the day of judgment, only Allah will remain because the angels will die. Will Allah bring the angels back to life?
Yes. There is a period between the first bone on the trunk and the second one. There is a period, okay? So, everybody will die and then something will happen and then everybody will... The first one angel that Allah will bring back to life is the angel Israfil. And then he's going to blow the second trunk. Now we're going to grow from earth, like trees. Grow from earth, naked, and like trees, yes.
Isn't Shaitan, like, he disobeyed Allah, that's why he became Shaitan?
Yes. A jinn disobeyed Allah becomes Shaitan. So the bad jinn are Shaitan.
Oh,
but
so
there are Muslim jinn.
So Shaitan wasn't originally an angel, he was a jinn.
Yeah, he never was an angel.
Okay.
And that's why everybody was impressed. He's not an angel, but he's acting like an angel. But he doesn't, he has these temptations and ego and all of these things but he that angels don't have, yet he's worshiping Allah like an angel. So everybody was impressed with him. And this is when Allah wanted to show the truth about him, so he tested him by Adam. Okay, I guess, yes, we can go now. Don't take your envelope.